Recording started.
Good morning, and welcome to our Good Friday service. If you haven't already, I invite you just to settle yourself in wherever you happen to be, whether you're sitting or lying down. Just relax the body. Feel the chair or the bed or the ground, whatever, or wherever you are beneath you. And be intentional. This is a time when we're coming together to deepen into the esoterical meaning of this Easter story. Whether you accept it as fact or whether you take it allegorically, there is a real deep truth to understanding and embodying the message behind the Good Friday experience. So our service on a Good Friday is always different from our regular Easter Sunday service. So today I'm going to take time and to ask you to go with me on this journey. As we look beyond the mere words that are written in the Bible, to look at yet another level that Jesus was teaching and showing us by his example. I believe, as you have often heard me say, that whilst I am not a Christian, I am a Jesus lover. He is, to me, the greatest teacher ever. And there have been some phenomenal teachers throughout the world's history. Buddha, Muhammad. But for me, Jesus is the one that has shown through his short time on this earth in his ministry that who we are and who we were created to be wasn't just particular to him, but it was something that was particular to all of us. He wanted to show and demonstrate over and over again that we were the Christ too. It wasn't that he was Jesus the Christ, the only Son of God, that we were all sons and daughters of the living God, that we needed to claim our divinity and recognize that we were gods also. So I want us to look deeper at what he was suggesting and how to live a life that was free from the sense, the egoic sense of, but I'm only human. He wanted us to understand that we were more than just a human being. We were spiritual beings, we were divine beings, we were God-realized beings. We have allowed our circumstances to overshadow this unending, unfailing, ever-abiding truth that is at the core of each and every one of our beings. We have allowed the name we have given ourselves and all that we associate with our name to be the be-all and end-all. So my first quote from the Bible, which we will be studying this morning, gives us the first direction. John 12:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Everything that I'm sharing with you this morning is from the time when he is with his disciples and they are sharing what we call the Last Supper. He is referring to that we have to let go of the old in order to birth something new. The Easter story is the death of the old so that there is a resurrection into the new awareness of the Christ life. We, on a day-to-day, from a moment-to-moment basis, need to crucify all those thoughts and ideas and beliefs that keep us separate from our true nature, our divine sense of who we are. It has to die. You see, when it dies and goes into the ground and it goes forth, it brings up something new. That old level of consciousness has to disintegrate so that a higher level consciousness can come forth. Our Jesus demonstrated both physically but esoterically as well that there has to be a death in order for a new life to come forth. The resurrection simply means rebirth. We need to be reborn into a new consciousness, or let's say a more self-realized consciousness of our divine nature. We need to be reborn into the understanding that we too are Christ. Jesus wasn't the only Christ. Each and every one of us is the Christ. The Christ is the Spirit of God, the life force, the energy, the presence of God that is in everyone. It is animating your physical form. It is quickening your physical being. It is the divine intelligence that is in every cell and particle of you. So, beloved, let us first die to that dualistic consciousness that sees separateness, that sees separation, that sees God and ourselves as two separate things, so that we may resurrect into the awareness, as Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Let us resurrect into that awareness that we are one with the Christ life within. Our second illustration comes from Luke 22:8-13. And Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare the Passover for us, so that we may eat. They said to him, where do you want us to prepare it? And he said to them, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into that house that he enters. And you shall say to the owner of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large, furnished upper room. Prepare it there. And they left and found everything just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. Here. Jesus already saw in his mind's eye what and where he wanted to hold the Passover. He saw it so clearly that he was able to give the instructions to the disciples who were Peter and John. Now we know, because in previous years we have studied this, Peter stands for faith. The esoterical name and the teachings of Peter and the representation of Peter is faith, and John is love. So when we are beholding in our mind's eye and seeing whatever it is we are wanting for ourselves, we have to have faith and love in our visioning. We have to have faith and love as we are seeing whatever it is that we are wanting for ourselves. We have to have faith and love in as we go about doing, seeing, being. We have to live from that place of faith and love. Jesus saw and sent forth faith and love. And it was so. Beloved, see in your mind's eye what it is you want for yourself, how it is you want to show up in the world, revealing your Christ nature, and let faith and love go before you and prepare your way. My third lesson is Luke 22:17-20. And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes." And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This is the cup which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood." Some people like to take this literally, and they're celebrating communion, saying they're eating the body of Christ and drinking his blood. But always we know that Jesus taught in parables. He taught in parables over and over again. And so we know that the bread represents divine ideas. So he's saying, take these divine ideas that I have been sharing with you all these years. I've been walking and teaching and demonstrating. Take them and utilize them. And when he says, drink this is my blood, he's saying, let these divine ideas circulate. Don't keep them to yourselves. Go forth and share them. Let people understand that they don't need to be in bondage to the slave egoic nature. They need to understand that as they allow faith and love and let the divine ideas circulate, they can realize their Christ nature. Beloved, Jesus has been showing and sharing with us throughout the centuries this truth. We are not worms of the dust. We are not here to have a miserable life and at the end of it reach the heavens. No, we are here to have heaven on earth right now. And so, my fourth lesson comes from Luke 22:21, saying, "But behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with mine on the table." Now here he's recognizing that Judas, and is speaking forth to that, that Judas is about to betray him. We will always have both internally and externally things, thoughts, people, experiences that will betray us, that will let us down. He said early on that a man's enemies are of his own household, meaning it is his thoughts, because we forget that we are Christ. And go back into the poor me, woe is me, I'm only human mentality. These are the thoughts that betray us. These are our Judases. These are the things that stop us remembering our Christ self and forgetting our Christ identity. Learn to recognize and see them for what they are. They're simply self-sabotaging. And know that when they arise, that you can speak forth your word. Send love and faith your disciples, Peter and John, to disperse them. Our fifth lesson he gave us comes from John 13:4-12. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash your feet, you have no part of me." Then Lord Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who've had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was what he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. As I have shared in the past, our feet represent understanding. We stand upon them. He was washing away symbolically and literally the debris, the dirt, that which had encrusted around their understanding. He had even washed Judas's feet. He was not excluded. He washed away all the things that he knew would stop them from going forth once he was gone and doing as he had taught them. We have to wash away all of that prohibits us from realizing continuously our Christ nature. We have to wash away all those thoughts and erroneous beliefs that we have acquired like excess baggage from the time we were born, even from in vitro. We were taking on all the negative and false beliefs from our mother, and then through growing up, we've taken on the false erroneous beliefs from those around us, our peer groups, our families, our teachers, our friends. We have to let that be washed away. He said, unless you allow this to happen, you will have no understanding, no part of me. Meaning that you will have no awareness of the Christ that you are. And then he asked them, do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, if you've had a bath or a shower, you're clean. Yes, that's not what I'm speaking to. I'm speaking to your spiritual understanding of who you are and whose you are, so that as you go forth in the world, you do not see separation. You see unification. You see unification with the Christ nature that you are, and you behold it in everyone else that you encounter. Our sixth lesson comes from John 13, 21 to 30. Verily, very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me. His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which one of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, ask him which one he means. Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is the one who I'm going to give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish. Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Iscariot. And as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, what you are about to do, do quickly. But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the festival or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. What I love about this verse is the compassion with which Jesus showed Judas. It is the compassion with which he knew from the beginning what was about to befall him and who was about to do it. But it didn't stop him from being compassionate towards Judas. He washed the feet of all of his disciples, including Judas the betrayer. He spoke openly and lovingly to him. He didn't show him anything other than compassion. As we know and embody our Christ nature, we have to embody compassion. Our seventh reading comes from John 13, 34, 38. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So must you love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will have disowned me three times. You see, Peter, who represents faith, denied Peter denied Jesus 3 times. 3 times before the cross crew. He was adamant that he would follow Jesus wherever he went. He was adamant that he would lay down his life for him. And yet we know he denied Jesus 3 times. There will be times in our lives when our faith will fail us. There will be times in our life when our faith will be shaking and unwavering. There will be times in our lives when we think we have no faith, or we doubt the little faith that we have. But here is a prime example and demonstration that irrespective of those times, we can develop through whatever it is that we may be going through that is shaking our faith, to be, as Peter ultimately became, the rock upon which the Christ life was built, i.e. the rock of faith that is needed to be expressed the Christ presence within. And so my final lesson this morning that I want to share with you comes from John 14, 1-14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. He gave us a lot there to embrace. You see, when he said to Philip, when you see me, you have seen God, he is acknowledging his divinity. But more importantly, he was speaking that when we see each other, we are seeing God. God was not just personified in Jesus. God is personified in each and every one of us. He said, I am one with the Father, speaking that also we are one with God. He speaks openly that we can do the same as he can do. Now, why did he say we can do just as he did? Because he knew that we too were Christ. If we did not have the same power that he had, if we did not have that same connection with the divine source that he had, he wouldn't tell us we could do better than he did. He would be saying, well, try your best. Maybe you can do some of what I did. But he's saying we can do even more than he did. He saw our Christ nature. He saw our Christ life. He spoke it, he declared it, and he encouraged us to move beyond the self-imposed doubts and fears that we had, to recognize that just as he was one with God, so were we. Beloved, this Easter is a reminder that we truly have to die, to crucify and bury the false, erroneous, limiting ideas and beliefs that we keep holding on to, that we are not enough. We are more than enough, for we are Christ. I cannot emphasize it enough. And I know that we are so entrenched in our beliefs of what we think we are able or capable to do. But we have an example to which we can look to and turn to in Jesus that is continuously there as a beacon of light reminding us, just as he spoke the word, I am the way, the truth, and the life, so that we can speak the same words knowing that the Christ in us is the way, the truth, and the life. The Christ in us, that spirit, that divine intelligence, that infinite life, is our Christ presence. This Easter, bury in the tomb all your doubts and fears and worries. Bury in the tomb all that has you kept you down and negated your life from being all that it needed to be. Nail, bury, crucify, whatever it is that most speaks to you, do it so that you can rise triumphantly into the new consciousness of who you are. You are Christ. Know this truth. Embrace this truth. Live from this truth. So let us enter into a circle of prayer. Let us take a deep breath down into our physical form. And notice the Christ breath we are breathing in. In this awareness, in this truth, in this realization, in this acceptance, we allow our consciousness to open up to the belief that we too are Christ. We allow the thoughts, the feelings, the ideas, the beliefs that we have held on to for so long to be crucified and buried in the tomb so that we may have our rebirth, our resurrection into the Christ light, Christ life, Christ love that is within and without. Divine, beloved, infinite creator, source of all that is, we are one with your presence, your life, your power. May we accept and understand as our teacher Jesus did, that we are one with you and all that you are, we are also. That we are the Christ, the presence of your life within, that we are love, that we are wisdom, that we are truth, we are wholeness. Let us know for ourselves that which our Jesus taught us. Let us learn to embody, embrace faith and love, wisdom and truth and trust, courage and all that is necessary to live from the Christ awareness. Let us surrender those things that no longer serve us. The duality that we hold in our consciousness that there is God and that there is us. Let us remove that. Let us deny it. Let us crucify and bury it now, so that we may rise triumphantly knowing that we are sons and daughters, that we are Christ. O beloved, infinite intelligence, thou who art the ground of our being, crucify all that is not of the Christ nature. Bury in us everything that holds us and keeps us separate. And let us resurrect into the glory of who our divine nature, who we are at our core, and who we are as Christ's being. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercies, we are ever grateful. And so it is. Take a deep breath in as I unmute the phones, and we repeat our prayer of protection.
Participant lines have been unmuted. Press #6 to mute your line.
So repeat after me our prayer of protection. The light of God surrounds me.
The light of God surrounds me.
The love of God enfolds me.
The love of God enfolds me.
The power of God protects me.
The power of God protects me.
The presence of God watches over me.
The presence of God watches over me.
Wherever I am, God is, and all is well.
Wherever I am, God is, and all is well.
And so it is. So my beloved, as we've come to the close of our Good Friday service, I will close with a beautiful piece of music from Lauren Daigle, entitled How Can It Be? The service will be on Sunday's, the Sunday Soul website if you wish to go and re-listen. And I look forward to joining you once again on Sunday as we celebrate the resurrection. This is Lauren Daigle, How Can It Be? Enjoy.
You can't take me.
How can it be? Have a beautiful and blessed Good Friday. I look forward to joining you on Sunday for our Sunday Soul Connection.
Thank you.